Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here was our assignment from yesterday. The words I am are potent words. Be careful what you hitch to them. The thing you're claiming has a way of reaching back and claiming you. A favorite workshop exercise through the years has been one in which participants are asked to write, I'm a person who, and then to fill in the end of the sentence as many times as they can. I'm a person who loves animals, is honest, is an athlete, prefers being in nature, is kind and friendly, doesn't suffer fools gladly, etc. With a little looking, we can readily come up with many of these ego identities. As the quote encourages us to consider, claiming those identities gives ego an open invitation to claim us. For instance, if it should occur, and surely it will, that I am, in a particular instance, less than loving toward an animal, lacking in athletic prowess, unhappy while in nature, not kind or friendly, or God forbid, foolish, though seemingly harmless, just how I am claims, will be swiftly and often brutally used against me by self-hate. Today, each time you recognize an assumed identity claiming you, remind yourself that sometimes you're this way and sometimes that way. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry? Here we go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello? First caller?
Hi, this is Susan from Murphy's.
Hey, Susan.
I am a person who is afraid of the queue. So I used to be a person who was comfortable talking in group. Oh, so go ahead.
Well, you used to be afraid of the queue, and even before that.
Then I was a person, you know, it's interesting to watch. I'm so inspired by people who put themselves in the queue every day. You know, it's just, it's my New Year's resolution because I can't believe I'm a person who has not, you know, who has this. So, you know, the identity that I like in the thing we were reading, I was reading yesterday, is that I like to think of my main ego identity is I'm a person who's comfortable sharing in group. I'm a person who looks inside. I'm confident. I can share, you know, whenever I want. And then every day the cue comes up and the challenge to push *6. And I've just been, you know, obliterated about it. Brutally, you use the word, or whoever wrote that one uses the word brute, you know, it can get brutal.
Yeah, yeah. And as we always say at this juncture, so good to see, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, so good to see.
Because without something like this, you know, the ego is just in charge, telling us whatever story it's telling us. And so this has been going on for almost a year, right? but, you know, in your life, there's this occasion where, I don't really feel like speaking. I don't have anything to say. Oh, well, why don't you just let other people talk? You know, it's once here, once there. Who's going to notice? But after a year?
Right. Well, and it's exactly what you just said. Those are the tapes. I mean, it doesn't just say you're afraid of the queue. It says all those things. You know, you live right down from the monastery. Let other people talk. You have plenty of opportunity. You know, just all those sort of subtle ways that, as we're talking about it, are not so subtle. But
person ways to be.
Yes.
Right.
And
you're
I like that so much about the person. Yes, yes. And I like that about the writing because that's how, you know, I am a person who allows others to share. You know, I am a person who, you know, those good things. I like that it's good to animals. is I'm yelling at my dog. You know, I just, but what I found in looking at that process of that you're both, it was similar to my experience yesterday. Gosh, the relief when you just say, yeah, I am, you know, that definition of egocentricity or whatever it was. Yeah, that I am that, and that's okay. It's kind of the same with I'm a person that has not shared in the queue or whatever. Beep, you know, I'm pushing star six today.
That's right.
there's kind of a freedom with, there's nothing wrong.
Well,
you just want to eat number six.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and your previous example, you know, do you love your dog? Of course you love your dog. Sometimes you get to the end of your leash and have to yell at her. Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Is it something we want to pursue? No. Is it something we want to indulge being allowed a beating for? No.
Yeah.
Sometimes this and happens. Sometimes that happens to all of us.
Yes. And that's why I like it said, sometimes this, sometimes that. You know, that's the key about not becoming identified with the good person identity. Because if I don't get identified with that, then I'm just a person who is good to my dog and isn't, you know, and who shares and doesn't. You know, there's not, there's so much, I don't know, I just felt the freedom happen in looking at that process.
Yeah, because you're free to be everything that you are, which just happens to be an expression of all that is. And the harm, the hurt, the suffering that is caused by ego convincing us that what we need to do is get on one side of a duality, cling there, and be beaten every time we don't meet that standard. I mean, look around the world, right? That's going on everywhere all the time. And it's horrible, and it leads to horrible things. It doesn't lead to good to have ego demand that we meet its standards for being a good person. That doesn't lead to good. That leads to every kind of hurt, pain, suffering, hatefulness, victimizing others, you know, on and on and on. What ego accomplishes with that, you have to be this way.
Yeah, and, you know, ego had me bamboozled with, it said what causes that is self-hate. It didn't say what causes it is identifying with either side of the duality, which I think is the tricky thing I saw today, which is so helpful, is that neither side, you know, feeling great about being a great dog owner is great, and then it moves, and then it can just move. But what happens to ego is, okay, then I'm going to make that an identity, and then I'm going to have another side of that duality, and she's going to see that she's really, you know, anyway. Just the freedom in seeing that neither side is helpful to get identified with. That we're both.
Exactly. The only thing that's helpful is this here now.
Yeah.
And when we realize the duality for what it is, we're realizing it from this here now. So we just say, okay, and sometimes I'm here and sometimes I'm not. I'm working hard to be here. I'm not always here.
Exactly. I'm working hard to be here. I was willing to push star six, and I actually got on.
That's right.
That's and now I'll listen to this lovely call. Thanks so much to you and Ashwin.
Thank you, Susan.
I love it every day. I don't get to say it every day to you, but it's so helpful.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
Okay, thanks.
Good. All right. Thanks, Susan.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Susan. You know, Terry, that reflects something that I've been looking at all morning, that that thing that you said about I'm the kind of person who is the statement that only comes from a dualistic orientation that splits the world into that duality by that statement. Mm-hmm. Because until that statement is made, I'm all of it, right? I have all of these abilities to be all of these things. But the statement creates the duality And we identify, as you were saying, with either side of the duality. And the interesting part is, in that identification, the who is always ego. I am ego. Or ego is, that's what, it's not, I'm not that way. I'm all of these ways. That's my experience of life.
Yes.
It's the ego that's the limit, right, that defines the only thing I am, and then has us, you know, go back and forth on that side of the duality when we are and we shouldn't and when we aren't and we should and all of that conversation. But if we don't define ourselves or identify with the definition would be a better way of saying it, and we can be everything, then we are appropriately, I don't know, yelling at the dog because that's the energy of the moment, or cuddling with her on the couch because that's the energy of the moment. And we can be all of those things appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Without making it, I'm a good person or I'm a bad person, and opening myself to ego judgment and punishment.
The thing that dropped in is ego is always a person. Everything else in life is impersonal. It's all a process.
Ooh. And only ego takes things personally. Ooh. I think we're onto something here, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woo.
All right. Here's our next caller.
Yeah.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hey, Jill.
Actually,
I'm not going to ask you if it's cold, okay? Because we have left that behind. That's
we
not
have.
Something that we focus on. We've moved on. Okay.
We've moved on, exactly. I've been looking at something the whole week through all of these assignments that seems to be some version of the same thing, which is all around identity. So I was so... it was so fun to practice with this yesterday. I mean, I feel like sort of like what Ashwini was just saying, all of my suffering is around whatever identity, you know, is there in the moment. And I guess the biggest one lately has been I can see the truth, and and I have to point it out to you what is, you know, I'm holding the line of truth. You know, I'm like, sometimes the only...
I'm going to relax.
Yeah, I got it covered.
Because you got the line? Okay, good.
I'm like those only soldier who is willing to cling to what is true, and everyone else is just trying to, you know, saying it wrong, doing it wrong, the facts are wrong, their perspective is wrong. It's like... just so crazy. And so I did this thing. So at work, this is where this comes up. It's the most painful at work. You know, I work in a think tank. I'm an editor. Like, it's just,
Identity. Jill, you got to give the subject of the think tank, okay?
Yeah.
That's what makes it all so perfect, right?
I know. It's like it's in the organizational's mandate that I think about this. And so I have this, I don't remember how this occurred to me, but I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to agree. This happened on Monday. I just put a sticker on my computer that just said agree. I said, I'm just going to agree with everything. I'm just going to see what happens if I do that, because it seems like I'm on this, ego has me on this hair trigger to disagree, to point out, to just be the sort of little niggling police
editor
officer.
Editor for life.
Editor
for life.
So there are a couple of interesting things about that. One is I felt like energetically it took hold. It was happening in a place that I couldn't intellectually access more quickly than it happened in what I was saying, or I don't know. I just felt like my position in the world became more agreeable in some ways. Maybe there was a relaxing. I didn't have to cling to that, defend the line, I guess. that let go.
Uh-huh.
So that was fascinating. And then the second thing was, is that as soon as I agreed, and I didn't do it all the time. I think I'm up to like 50% or something. But as soon as I agree, I don't know, it just, there's this whole other space for conversation that allows me to not disagree, but like just make the point I need to make in a way that doesn't have that I am disagreeing with you crap around it. And so
yes,
it seems
right.
like it became a doorway into a different life experience rather than what ego had set it up to be, which is just a failure or I'm not doing my job or some other, you know, crime I've committed.
Being unfaithful to ego is the crime that you're committing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's fun to consider it like that because, so, you know, you and I are going to do a project together. We're going to, whatever it is, you know, we're going to cook dinner together or we're going to go on a trip together or we're going to, you know, edit something together. And, but everything you do is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to make sure that you actually never get to do any of that. And yet we're doing it together.
Right.
And we can see in that it is definitely going to be a suffering experience always.
Mm.
It has to be. Because
yeah.
if I'm the only one who can be right and I have to make sure that you are clear that you are wrong and therefore don't get to participate, there is nowhere to go but suffering.
Right. Yeah.
That if in the way that you laid out, both of us are agreeing, then the best that we both have to bring to this is available to both of us. And together we can decide which of this we want to pursue.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It just opened it up to a different, once my orientation towards being the one who is right was, you know, I let go of that as best as I could. Yeah, there are all of these opportunities to have it be a collaboration and have it be, and I could learn and the other person could learn and it really was just, much more relaxing.
Happier. Much happier. For everybody.
Exactly, for everybody. Anyway, I really appreciated the assignment, and it's really been wonderful. So thank you so much.
Good. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was fun. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jill. And I'll tell you that that was just so fun because it's funny, I have had a similar practice for a while. And the thing that I've noticed about it is that ego is a position. So it's always in opposition to what's arising in life. And when we're ready to surrender taking a position, it's that movement from resistance to acceptance. It's that Aikido move that it's like I'm letting go what is opposing, what is arising. It's two negatives make a yes. Right? And then life just becomes available because I'm not feeding that which opposes. And once that opposition is let go of, then it's exactly what you're saying. Then we're not separate. We're not self and other. And so we can actually be present to what is there rather than opposing things.
Yeah. Yeah. And with what you and Jill are what we've been talking about, if we realize how small and limited ego is,
yes,
and how whole mind is, the intelligence
yes.
animating, right?
Yes.
Then we can really pretty quickly get to, I would rather not try to cling to that little tiny limited perspective in the face of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And it goes back to what Susan, you were talking to Susan about, which is as soon as I recognize that the who is always ego, then it's not, it doesn't become important for me, because with identification with ego, it's like if I surrender my position, I'm surrendering me. And that's not true. I'm only surrendering ego. The who is all, yes. The person is always the ego, and that allows me to be everything that I actually am.
Yes.
And we make
yes.
that shift to the position is the ego process. That's all I'm giving up. I'm not actually giving up my ability to be able to express what it is I see.
Yes. Yes, which is when it becomes a everything becomes a collaborative effort. Or a collaborative joy is better than effort, because it's not an effort.
Only right. And
efforts.
Yes. Well, and to me, that's sort of what Jill was pointing to energetically, right? Because life operates in complete interdependence and collaboration. Mm-hmm. Everything is connected to everything else, and then everything is allowed, and there are no contradictions and no comparisons and no judgments. And so when the position is given up, then that's what we experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which, just quickly, because I know we want to get to somebody else, but quickly, if for people who are getting to this place in conditioned mind, it doesn't mean that if you've been out to dinner with your friend who during the meal consumed a bottle of wine, you need to get into the passenger seat as they get into the driver's seat for the drive home. That's not what we're talking about here. It is not a matter of not being responsive to life. What we're talking about is not being controlled by ego. And that's very, very, those are very different propositions.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Let's see. Okay, I'm going to try again, Sherry. Here you go. Next caller, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. Well, this is so great that you're talking about that, because what I had in mind was one of my favorite quotes, which is, before you think good or evil, who are you?
Mm-hmm. First look to see who's looking before
yes.
you get too wound up about what's being seen. Uh-huh.
Yes. So that's a deep one. There's so many things I could talk about, but I'm going to stick with just, two things, which is I've been so inspired by the calls, all of them, and I, too, get a sense of the deepening of practice for myself and for Sangha. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing more recording and listening. Mm-hmm. And there's such a difference between thinking about it and picking it up, picking up the recorder. And that really is that's the button right there, that shift.
Yes, and two things about that, Stephanie. One is there's a difference thinking about it and actually picking up the recorder and doing it. And that points us at the difference between thinking and recording and listening. Right? Because what we're conditioned to do is believe that thinking about something gives us the same experience that recording and listening gives us. Or that journaling about something gives us the same experience that recording and listening does. And the only people who could hold that opinion are people who have never actually done recording and listening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just so true. My experience, I had a reflective listening buddy's call yesterday. And we talked about that. I shared about that. And part of the call, the content was, I shifted into calling, recording, and listening. I changed it in my brain to coloring because I know I have so much, you know, ego has resistance to RL. I know that already. So I started calling it coloring. And there was this ease and pleasure in, oh, I'm going to go color. And then I got off that call, and I went to go color. And that made all the difference just to do it. And I just can't emphasize to anybody who's listening how true that is.
Yes. And, you know, there in another retreat, I was in a situation with somebody who said, I don't want to make commitments because when I make commitments, the ego comes after me so hard that I just get completely miserable. So not making commitments, life is so much easier. And of course, I had to say, I was required to say, well, actually, it isn't. The only time life is easier is when we take the power away from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and return it to the heart where it belongs. Because as long as we can be controlled by those voices of ego, they will control us. And we may get a way around them here, a way around them there, excuse me, but they're still in charge. And so, yes, and I'm hoping part of the recording and listening practice that you do going forward is really focused on moving through and past the resistance to recording and listening, because that's removing the resistance, period. And as we remove resistance, life gets way easier and more fun.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I love that. That's a reminder. It removes the resistance everywhere.
Everywhere. Yep. Wherever it comes in and tries to insert its control over us, we just say, not doing that. Doing this. Yeah. So, for instance, the people who, you know, a lot of people have trouble going to bed on time. They get talked into staying up too late, and then they oversleep in the morning, and then they hear voices beat them up. And so the point is not to give up any ideas about what time I go to bed or what time I wake up. That's not it. The point is, no, I'm going to determine when I want to go to bed at night, because that's going to take care of me, and I'm going to learn to do that. I don't care if it takes a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years. I don't care. I'm going to learn how to make it a choice for myself and keep it. And, of course, it won't take much longer than making that decision. But then we have to act it out and prove it to ourselves. Yeah.
All right. Just awesome stuff. Thank you both so much.
You are so welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephanie. And, Charity, that brings us to the end of another marvelous show. And our assignment . A happy life must be, to a great extent, a quiet life, for it is only in an atmosphere of quiet that true joy can live. Perhaps it is so that a happy life must be, to a great extent, a quiet life, because it is only in the quiet of non-distraction that we can be present to the true joy that is life. Perhaps it's not so much that true joy can live only in quiet, as that without quiet, we will be too distracted to recognize the true joy that is each moment of life. To believe true joy is dependent upon circumstances, that it only exists in certain situations or environments, would be to believe the essential quality of life is limited.
What we hear from those who are able to be present in all circumstances is that all that is unconditional. Today, give yourself some time in an atmosphere of quiet that assists you to experience the true joy you are seeking in all circumstances of life. Record and listen.
You know, may I say something about that I just heard in that?
Yes, of course.
It's like hearing a note, a sound that you've never been aware of before, and then realizing how present that sound is everywhere. Once we begin to listen for it, to be aware mm-hmm. of it, to know that it's there, it's like that, I think. So I don't know mm-hmm. if that'll be helpful for people in looking at that or in working with that quote, but that's it. Once we recognize, once we're quiet enough to find that joy, now we can start looking for it in the most raucous of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means that the stillness actually happens internal. It's a different way of listening. That's what changes.
Yeah. 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 Ooh. Fun.
Oh, well, right. Can't wait to hear what people see about that tomorrow.
I know. Enjoy the day, huh?
You too, Sherry. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.